Amen. So if you have your Bibles, join me in John, the Gospel of John, 3:16 and 17. John 3:16 and 17. This is really, it falls in the context of Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus. Jesus tells Nicodemus, you must be born again. And Nicodemus says, well, how can I go back in my mother's womb and be born again? That's impossible. And then Jesus tells him, you must be born again of water and the Spirit in order to enter the kingdom of God. And I did some research on John 3:16. Did you know it's the most recognizable verse in the Bible? Actually, it's even recognized by those who do not know Christ. I remember Tim Tebow. He would wear John 3:16 on his, he would have that black stripe when he played football. Then you'd see guys in the stands holding John 3:16. And unbelievers go look that up, and they would have seen the gospel message. Because John 3:16, and I do believe John 3:17, is really at the heart of the gospel. It's actually at the heart of why we assemble every Sunday morning. Because those that assemble in the name of Christ, we have been born again, and therefore we come on Sunday morning to worship and to praise God. So let's unpack this morning. First of all, God offers eternal life, and the outline is on the back of your bulletin. You can fill it in if you want to. God offers eternal life. Now, this is the most important thing, I think, because We're going to look at his love first. I think people misunderstand the Christian message. I really do. I think the lost world sees us as hardcore, right entrenched people who are only out to condemn people. That really is foreign to the central message of the cross. Now notice what he writes here, John writes, for God so loved the world. So is a very intense word in the Greek language. So you could read it this way, for God so loved the world. It is an intense moment in this passage of Scripture. For God so loved the world. This word love, agapao, in the Greek language, it means to have love based on a sincere, loving concern for something or someone. So let's look at this for a second. The gospel message is initiated in the love of God for the world, the cosmos. Now, when we talk about the cosmos, that can mean many things in the Greek language. It could mean the cosmos, the earth that God created. And by the way, did you see the SpaceX launch the other day? It was awesome. I was cheering it on as it went up into the atmosphere, and I think it docked last night with the space station. It could refer to this. For God so loved the world. Of course, God created it. What I find so fascinating, Jupiter, one of the biggest gas giants that we have, let me just say this. I do not have enough faith to believe in a Big Bang theory where you have one molecule that explodes and you get all of this. Now, when I look at that and you look at the creation narrative in Genesis chapter 1, you can see God's handiwork. Actually, the scriptures say when you look up in the heavens, you see God's handiwork. Quite amazing. I don't even know what the possibility is on that. One in 1,700 million that could have possibly happened. God created it. It did not happen by any other means. And so when he says here, for God so loved the world, it could be that. And you think about the things that God created out there in the universe. Messier 101. Messier 101 is called the Pinwheel Galaxy. And you can actually, through my telescope and put it on the screen, I can actually take a picture of that. It's 25 million light years from Earth. Can't even fathom that. And there's a lot of things in nature that use this spiral. A lot of things. Quite a few. But that's not what we're talking about here. Yes, God loved that creation, and on the seventh day he rested, and he said, what I made was very good. But what God is talking about here is the inhabitants of the earth. Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Think about that. God looks down at creation. He sees that the world has basically rejected him. And yet, out of the love of God, listen, the gospel is centered in the love of God. And when we're out there on the highways and byways of life, we need to be showing the love of God. The gospel is not bad news, it is good news. It is good news, not bad news. And we'll unpack some of this as we go through. But the fact is, God loves people. Brian, would you get that door back there? I think it opened, sorry. God loves people. Years ago, when I was in Bible college, I think it was a ministry 102 class or something like that, the professor was talking about a time that he was a pastor. Let me show you a picture here. God loves this woman, and the professor was telling us that one day he went into a house that was really, really bad, and he sat down and he really didn't want to take a drink from this person. There were cockroaches. The house was southern in Florida. And he said he wanted to share the gospel, but he just wanted to get out of there. And so the professor said, and he started crying. The professor said when he left the house, he went out to his car and he realized, he said, that's what your spiritual life was like when you did not have me. And you think about people that are homeless. They're just as important as you and I. God loves them. In fact, Jesus came for people like this. Jesus spent his ministry ministering to people that the religious elite and the high society would reject. Brothers and sisters, we got to get back to the love of God. We've got to get back and seeing people the way God sees them. God sees this woman, and God bless her. I don't know who she is. She needs help, but she also needs to hear the good news of the gospel. Think, we got homeless people all around over here, and sometimes we drive by and say, peace, may God go with you. Why don't we stop sometimes and try to help them? I came under conviction about that myself. We got to get back to the fact that God loves everyone. There is no social status within the kingdom of God, if you will. Edwin Blum, in his commentary, writes this: whether this verse was spoken by John or Jesus, it is God's word, and it is an important summary of the gospel. God's motivation towards people is love, not hate. So when we go out there and we're living our lives, yes, we're going to talk about it in a few minutes. There is a consequence to those who reject Christ. But brothers and sisters, when we're out there, we need to project the love of God to everyone. I've gotten in a habit now of thanking people for what they do at their jobs. It's kind of fascinating, their responses. God's love is not limited to a few or to one group of people, but it is a gift for the whole world. The fact is, Sometimes I think as we live our Christian lives and we become established in the Christian faith, that we often forget what it meant to be lost. And I tell you this, this is the most important thing is that we've got to get out there, we've got to share the gospel. People need to know the love of God. They need to know the love of Christ. Now, God offers eternal life, and it is anchored and steeped and based in his love. When you look at the cross this morning, that's God's love symbol. God took action. He saw that the world was floundering. People were lost. Notice what John writes, that he gave his only son. He gave his only son. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for all of us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Do you know what a good God we have? We have a good God. A God that loves us. And I'll say this, he cares about every aspect of your life and mine. Every aspect. There are no accidents in the kingdom of God. God has your days numbered. And they are planned out. And as we seek to follow him, God provides everything that we need. How many of you are without a home today? How many of you have nothing to eat? How many of you do not have an automobile? You know what? You're blessed. You're blessed. We often take this for granted, like somehow I did all this. No, we didn't. God gives us everything that we have. And he will freely give us all things so that we can live our lives and ultimately share the gospel with people. George Beasley, in his commentary, writes this, a confessional summary of the gospel follows. It originates in God's love. That's where it starts. For a disobedient world. Think about that. Would you give your child or your grandchild for a person that did not like you? Would you do that? Well, that's exactly what God did. He told his son, you need to go down to earth and you need to go to the cross and you need to pay for the sins of the world. And that's what God did. His action was so over the top and so unbelievable. People should be flocking to the cross. It centers in the giving of the only Son to and for the world. And its end is that people may not be lost, but live under the saving sovereignty of God. The giving of the only Son clearly embraces both the incarnation and the vicarious death. It is the entire mission of the Son that is in view here. Jesus willingly came to this earth because it was the Father's will. Here's the key. Why did God do that? Why did God love us and then love us completely, love everybody? Nobody is excluded. That whosoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. Yeah, I wrote this down. This golf course here. So when you add up all fees, this is a private club. Have you any Grey Poupon? So after you tally up the $3,600 initiation fee and you pay $575 a month, and that does not include your golf. You have to pay for the golf. I've played on foo-foo golf courses. And I really felt out of place. So when you tally all that up, and actually probably more than this, $10,340 to hobnob with the elites. Now, what I like to do is there is right up down the road here, about 4 miles, there's the U of I golf course. They have an orange course and they have a blue course. I as a senior rate, I can play for $19. Then at the turn, I can get a hot dog, chips, and a Coke for $8. I'm good with that. I'm very good with that. And they got good hot dogs for those of you up at the U of I golf course. It's pretty nice. And I've already kind of been working on my swing. I'm migrating here, okay. Whoever. It's not an exclusive club. Yes, it is when you get saved, but it is open to all. I applied for a membership just for fun. They never replied back when I said I was a pastor. That's okay. I'd rather be with the everyman golf guy. No, I'm serious. You can even go out there and get a hot dog. It's really good. I don't know how they do it. It's good. Believes. Again, the kingdom of God is open to all. It's not to the elite. It is not to those in power. It is not to the rich. It is for everybody. All ground is level at the foot of the cross. And believes is pistuo, which means to put trust in something or someone. Now, when we look at the stages, I think the gospel encompasses this. When we look at the stages of Jesus' life, I think this is what it means to believe. You do know the scripture says even the demons believe and they tremble, but they're not saved. So what does it mean to be saved? It means to believe that Jesus was born of the Holy Spirit to the Virgin Mary. And after his human living, Jesus did his ministry. He also went to the cross, 9-inch nails in his hands and feet, dying on the cross. After 3 days, he rose from the dead, and then he ascended into heaven. I believe that's the entire message of the cross that we have to believe. It really is. Now, the real issue comes when, if we believe in Jesus, and I trust that you have, nobody knows at what day or hour we will die. And the fact is, there's a guy on the Braves, Arcia, he's batting 095, horrible. Death is batting 1,000. Please, don't play with eternity. It ain't worth it. Don't play with eternity. Perish. Apolemi. It's in the Greek. To cause about destruction. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who can kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Listen, let me just say this. I know it's absent from a lot of pulpits today, but there's a literal hell, and people who have rejected the gospel will spend eternity there separated from God. I think the big thing, to be lost for all eternity and to live in a place where Jesus calls Gehenna, where the worm burns but it never dies, would be awful. We don't want anybody to go there. We do not want anybody to go there. Even our worst enemy, we want them to trust Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior to avoid this. And oftentimes, we forget the reality of hell. And I think, I heard one pastor say, I wish every believer could spend 30 seconds in hell. They would come out on fire for Christ. Quite amazing. And you know, sometimes it just means that we fall in love with Jesus, fall in love with the gospel again, because it is so important. And I know the world thinks what I do here on Sunday morning, and in particularly this, is foolishness. But this is one of the most important jobs that I have as a pastor, is to preach the truth so that people can come to saving faith. They shall not perish, but those who trust in him will have eternal life. That is life never ending. John 5:24. I tell you the truth, those who listen to my message and believe in God who sent me have eternal life. They will never be condemned for their sins. Listen, the day that you trust in Jesus Christ, all of your sins are gone. It's done. Past, present, and future. You live in the grace of God. That's the good news of the gospel. Yes, we still sin. We should repent of that sin. But ultimately, the sin is not put on us. It was already put on Christ on the cross. He paid for it in full. When Jesus said it is finished, he meant it is finished. Those that come to me will be saved. I will give them eternal life, even though sometimes we don't look like we have eternal life. Here's the other thing that we make a mistake. They will never be condemned for their sins, but they have already passed from death into life. You know what? Eternal life doesn't start when we die. Eternal life is now. We are living eternal life now. It doesn't start the moment that we breathe our last breath. Jesus said, you've passed from death to life. Zoe is the Greek word there, and that means to be alive. You are alive this morning in Christ, even though we live among people who are dead spiritually. And I want you to know this morning, please know this, God loves you with an immense amount of love, and he cares about everything in your life. It's quite amazing. God's love, and he told his son to go to the world to redeem them. Not only does God offer eternal life, but he also provides salvation in Christ. Notice this, not to condemn. Again, sometimes, and I've met them, sometimes legalists get out there in the world and they start judging everybody. And I've met them. Yeah, I've met them. That's not what we're about, folks. We don't get involved in their sin, but we try to show them the love of God. That's what we're about. Now listen to what John writes. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. We'll get into this in a second. Did not send, apostolo, which means to cause someone to depart for a particular purpose. So God did not condemn the world, but he told his son, I'm going to give you this mission, and I want you to fulfill it. And I want you to go to the cross. I want you to pay for the people's sins. And those that believe in you, I will give them eternal life. Now, Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. Go out. That's your mission. To tell people about Jesus. And not like cramming a Bible down their throat. That's, I think, an archaic and wrong way to do it. The name of Christ needs to be in the spirit of love. And that doesn't mean to lead to a liberal lifestyle. That's not what I'm driving at. I don't want people to see anger in the children of God. Because they go, well, if that's what a Christian is, I want nothing to do with it. We have to anchor our gospel presentation in the love of God. And they need empathy. They need to feel the love of God. So next time you're out there witnessing, tell the person sincerely from a genuine heart that God loves you. He wants a relationship with you. So Jesus' ministry was really this, but it was also about preaching the kingdom of God. And he turned things upside down, folks. Do you know who Jesus had the biggest problem with? It wasn't the sinners. Jesus' biggest problem was with the religious elites. Those that should have known better that he was the Messiah. So Jesus goes about feeding 5,000, which they only had a little basket, and they fed 5,000. Hello, McFly. That's a miracle. Or what about the Sermon on the Mount? Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What was Jesus doing? He was sharing the kingdom of God. It was radical. It was different. It wasn't about religious stuff. And Jesus would go to houses with sinners and eat in their house, and the religious elites go, I can't believe he would go in to that tax collector's house. Listen, we've got to live among the unsaved people, and we got to share the gospel with them. I remember, and many of you remember, Emmett. I loved Emmett. He was walking by a bar one day, and he felt God telling him to go into that bar. And he shared the gospel with a man in that bar. Now, some people in town would go, I can't believe Emmett going to, why is he going into a bar? He's not saved. No. Get over yourself. He went into that bar because God directed him to go into the bar, just like Jesus went into the tax collector's house who was hated by the people, and Emmett shared the gospel with him, and the man received Christ. I'm going to give you permission. I'm going to give you permission to go anywhere that God directs you, to go anywhere and you share the gospel. You have my permission. And if God smacks me down for it, well, but I think a watershed moment with Emmett, because Emmett loved to tell the gospel. And I do miss him. I tell you that story about Emmett. I'd only been here a couple of years. And Emmett said, Pastor, I'm going to see you in the back room back there. I'm like, oh, gosh. What'd I do, Emmett? He shut the door, and I brought my Bible just in case I had to defend myself. He looked at me, and this is the best compliment I think I've been paid in a long time. He said, you're the best pastor this church has had. And I was shocked. And then he opened the door and left. Yeah. Emmett was a good guy. And Emmett's home, and we'll see him someday. That's awesome. And then Jesus would often go in the synagogues and deal with the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and he blew their gasket. He had run-ins with the Sadducees, and the way you know the Sadducees is they denied the resurrection. So you can see why they were Sadducees. I know. Don't quit your day job. The word condemn means krino. He didn't send Jesus to condemn the world. And that word krino means to judge a person to be guilty and liable of punishment. To judge as guilty, condemn, or condemnation. This is what John 3:18 says. Jesus didn't need to come in and condemn the world. I'll tell you why. The verse right after this one. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe in him is condemned already. Catch that. 16, 17, 18. That's why Jesus didn't come to a world that was saved. He came to a world that was lost. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son. And by the way, where we get sin, let's trace this back now for a moment. I'm just looking at the clock. I know the chicken will be here at 11. I'm having fun this morning. This has been fun. The Son of Man came into a world already lost and condemned world. He did not come to a neutral world to save some and condemn others. He came into a lost world in order to save some. When we think about this lostness state, let's pull this one up. Romans 5:12. Therefore, as sin came into the world through one man, and death through sin, so death spread to all men because all men sinned. Where does this come from? Paul writes this to the church at Rome. Well, it comes from the fact that the fall of Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3, and since we are connected to Adam, we inherited something called a sin nature. A fallen nature. I've had people ask me, why is there disease? And I tell them simply, because there's sin. Do you know God's original plan was never to die? It was when man messed up that there was a fall, and then all kinds of things come along. And ultimately, everything in life can be traced back to this. We are sinners by nature. That's who we are. I don't care how good you are. I heard one pastor say a while back, I wouldn't trust my best 10 seconds on earth to get me into the kingdom of God. Because ultimately, none of us are good enough to get there. You have to be perfect. And my wife tells me all the time I'm not perfect, so... We are connected to Adam, and therefore the human race traces its lineage back to Adam and Eve, and from the fall, genetically, internally, we become inherited and tainted with sin, and therefore we are in need of salvation. Jesus didn't need to pronounce mankind guilty. We were already guilty. People need to know that they're sinners, yes. But there is a way to do that and a way not to do that. So, what's God's mission in all of this? What is God's mission? 17b. He did not come into the world to condemn the world. And we read in 18 that the world's already condemned because they didn't believe in the only Son of God. But in order, 17b, in order that the world, the cosmos, us, might be saved through him. The word saved, one of my favorite words in the Greek language is sozo. And that means to rescue from danger and to experience divine salvation. Let me remind us of something this morning. Salvation is never the work of us. It is always the work of God. We can't do it. We failed miserably. And God said, actually from the foundations of the world, he knew man was going to fall and sin, and he knew he was going to send Christ. All the world events had to go to that moment to where he would come. You know, thank God for search and rescue. 3,400 people a year. That's a ballpark. That'll get you in the ballpark. 3,400 people a year in America get lost in the woods. And they need rescue. When you get in those spots, there's ways you can do it. But first of all, don't freak out. That's what happens. People freak out and they run and they start hurting themselves. Sit, get as high as you can, and look at the land. And there's one thing you should never When you go out in the woods, there's one thing you should always have on you. This is a flint striker. I hope I don't burn the church down. And actually, I get it going and it gets a big spark. You can start a fire with this, and that makes you feel a little protected. People are lost in the wilderness. And thank God for these people. They do amazing work. And brothers and sisters, there's people that are lost in the wilderness of sin, and we need to get them. You need to go rescue them. Not you. You tell them that God loves them. Christ will rescue them. And the rescue is pulled from something. Wow. John tells us we can't rescue ourselves. Only God can save us. Gerald Borchert, in his commentary, wrote this. The full perspective is that God is the initiator. Yes, he is. Without God taking the action, we are dead and done. It was his plan, not mine. And principal actor in salvation. We should never think that salvation originates with us. It does not. It is from start to finish God's plan for salvation. God, however, has given humanity a sense of freedom and requires us to make a choice. Accordingly, people are responsible for their believing. You have an opportunity. You have an opportunity this morning. First of all, I want to draw this. God loves you. He also loves the heroin addict. He also loves the homeless man or woman. He loves veterans. He loves the rich. He loves the poor. He loves everybody equally. God loves you. Get out there and tell them that this week. Tell them that God loves them. He sent his son to provide salvation. We don't have to do anything. We don't have to do anything. We need spiritual rescue. We are not able to do it ourselves, and Christ does it. God's mission is to save people, and it should be our mission.